can't sleep, trapped in my own mind. Anxiety. Drowning in the darkness, just can't see the light.
Depression.
Doubtful, insecure, can I really do this?
Imposter syndrome.
I'm alone, unloved, just feel invisible.
That's loneliness.
We're not therapists, but we need one.
Hello, and welcome to
We're Not Therapists, But We Need One.
The podcast where we have honest and vulnerable conversations about our mental health with one another.
I'm Jay.
And I'm Anthony, and neither of us are therapists.
But we're trying to help ourselves and each other by sharing our experiences and feelings.
In this show, we'll deep dive into topics like anxiety, depression,
self-esteem, trauma, and more.
We'll talk about how they affect us,
how we cope,
and what we've learned along the way.
We're not doing this to bash or blame anyone,
especially our families, who may have contributed to our mental health challenges.
We're doing this to heal and grow,
and hopefully inspire others who can relate and open your mind to your own healing.
We also want to warn you that this show may contain some sensitive and triggering content.
We'll be talking about personal and painful things that happen to us and how they still affect us to this day.
If you're not comfortable with that, or if you feel like you need professional help,
this show may not be for you. But
if you're ready to join us on this journey of self-discovery and self-improvement, we're glad to have you.
We're not experts, but we're honest and we're not alone.
Now, let's start the timer. Anthony, how do you feel today?
Well, I am feeling overwhelmed and mired in a swamp of existential dread. How are you, Jay?
I'm tired. It's been a week.
It has been a real week, a whole entire week. I didn't know they made them this long.
Like, I spontaneously, right when I was leaving today, I looked at my boss and I was like, I'm just not coming in tomorrow. I'm tired. This has been a whiz bang of a week in and out of work. I'm tired.
Yeah, I'm feeling it. Today, just, I don't know, it all sort of hit me. I guess I'm not tired as much as I am, just like, I'm just feeling a lot right now. I don't know what the deal is. I feel extremely overwhelmed by existence. I got a lot of that, you know, that feeling you get sometimes when you're like, what's the point of any of this? If I just have to like get up, go to work, come home, do chores, go to bed, get up, go to work, go home, do chores.
It reminds me of that SpongeBob meme that I love so much and didn't understand how much it would mean to me as an adult. But I don't remember even what segues into it, but it's literally just one of the fish characters and it's just focused on him and the scenery around him's changing. So it's him in his car, him at his desk at work, and then him and his standing in his window at home and his wife's like, coming to bed, honey? And he's like, in a minute. And I'm like, that is really adulthood.
Yeah, I'm feeling it this week. And I think, you know, last week we left off on talking about politics in the news, and that has been, I've been trying to avoid it, but even without reading about it, it just creeps into my mind, little things, and like just the oppressive nature of existing in America when so much religious conservatism is weaseling its way into our administrations in such a way that I feel like, and I know this is fatalist of me, but it's where my thoughts and feelings are at, where it's just inevitable that we're going to become a right-wing conservative state.
Oh, are we not already?
Not just in Oklahoma. I'm sorry. I should have said state as in country.
Oh, sorry. I get what you're saying.
I mean, we are in Oklahoma, and that fucking oppresses me every day. And then I just have like, I don't know, I'm feeling super fatalist this week.
Do you think that has anything to do with the fact that you've been coming off of medication?
It's gotta be part of it. And I assume that today I thought about that where I'm just like, well, I am coming off of this medication. I'm down to, ooh, you know, 5 milligrams every other day, which I think we talked about last week. And it's crazy because up until this phase, I have felt absolutely no side effects from coming off of this.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, it's got to be part of it, but I don't feel as much anxiety as I do depression. It really is just depression that's hitting me so hard this week.
I feel like I went through a phase of that in, I would say, more 2021. Because in 2020, I'd gone through cancer. And then I'd gone through chemo. And then in 2021, I was kind of in this phase where I'm like, I just managed to get past something that, while it wasn't serious in my situation, I caught it early, managed it, went through the stuff. If it would have been worse, is this all I'm going to have to look forward to in the future the next time I might actually be on my deathbed? And so then for a little bit, I went through this, it was a panic phase almost, of everything felt overwhelmingly exhausting. Politics, work. I was in a relationship at the time that by that time I'd recognized that there's a ton of red flags that I'd been ignoring for years and I didn't want to be in it. And I finally hit a point where I'm just like, I have to make steps to change this. And I had to start focusing on finding ways to kind of escape that mindset. And it was to get busy doing stuff and pushing past my safety boundary that I've always kept, especially at my job. And that's when I walked into my boss one time during a one-on-one, and I told her, I said, I'm so bored. I'm going to have to change departments or change companies. I can't do this anymore. And that was kind of my first trigger. And then from then on, I just keep finding ways to make myself feel like I have more control of my life than the life around me has control of me.
And I guess I don't feel out of control of my life. You know, there are some aspects that obviously being overwhelmed by existence in a country where you can't dictate the terms of existing in that country, that is frustrating and that's overwhelming. But then, like, today I was sitting at my desk and I had some extra time and I thought, oh, hey, now is a perfect time to sit here and write. And I could not bring myself to have even the slightest motivation to sit there and do something that I really love and enjoy when I do it. And I just felt so, I don't know. I felt this sort of despair. Like, what is the point? What is this whole, what's the fucking point of anything? And it hasn't been like that. I mean, yesterday was a little, but like today it just, I don't know. It's hitting me real hard today. And I have the big sads. And yeah. Part of me,
I feel like I'm getting a big L.
God, I'm in the big D, which is not the fun thing I usually mean it as.
Not the normal D.
Yeah, but I think what also happened was I sat down to write, and I can write, and I do write, and I just today I sat down to do it, and I felt like this despair just washed over me because I had this thought, like, what if I'm just past every little bit of creative me that there is? Like, what if that's it? What if I've wrung it all out doing shit for other people over the years? And I know that's not the case, but I just want you to know that's where my headspace went to. And I do understand it's irrational, and actually vocalizing it currently is helping me to kind of be like, that is pretty irrational.
Yeah.
But man, it hit me real hard. And I'm still really bad at crying. I'm still really bad at crying. Sorry, my dog has just finished dinner and he does cute little things afterwards.
I love this food.
I know. Well, we don't edit this, so you guys are just going to have to get it. But I don't know. It just hit me like a ton of bricks and I wanted to cry real bad and it just wouldn't come. And hell, I feel that right now.
So that's interesting because do you remember a f- few weeks ago when I was on my cruise and I ended up writing like 100 pages of a book.
Yes.
And it just fell out of me like diarrhea. It was so easy, so quick.
Yep.
And since coming back, I've tried to get back into it because I really want to finish it. The ideas are still all up there. But every time I sit down, I have no motivation whatsoever. And I'm starting to discover that my, where I'm at on a regular basis, my house and my work are not conducive to my creativity for something of that magnitude, I feel like. Because if you put me in a situation where I do not have all of my norms around me, all of my expectations, responsibilities that are swirling constantly, my mind completely breaks free from that barricade that's stopping it. And suddenly I am in like, let's go.
And I mean, I'm the same way, but I mean, even at this space and at this desk that I am sitting at right now, I have written hundreds upon hundreds of pages of things, not like including 300 pages worth of a first draft of a novel that I've been reworking for forever, because once I got it done, I read through it and I just hated it. And I finally realized why I hated it, which I told you about. And then I restarted reworking on it. And I don't know. I feel like it's just, I can't tell if I'm expecting too much of myself or if I'm just being way too hard on myself about doing it.
And that's kind of what I'm thinking at the moment. I feel like, especially if you and I are similar in the sense that we have a lot of random creativity that just flows through. And when it's not happening, I think we beat up ourselves because we're not doing that constant flow like usual. There's something that slowed it down. And mine'll last a week sometimes, and then sometimes I'll have months of nothing comes out that's interesting. And I think because we are creative and we enjoy the endorphins that we get from the excitement of our creativity, I think it's almost feels like we've taken away, something's taking away our happiness because we're just having a lull in creativity at the moment. And so then I think we also just beat ourselves up because we're not, performing like we usually do.
Yeah, and I can see that. I feel like it's, you have been in a really good, to me, from my perspective, creative place, because you've been going so fast with a few of the projects we're working on.
Yeah.
And you've been doing a great job. And I just feel like I'm not keeping up, and I feel like I'm not pulling my weight. And it's like I've got those projects, I've got work, I've got my own personal projects, and then I have to like take care of my life. I've got to take care of the house. Like after this, I'm going to be doing yard work. I don't want to do fucking yard work, but it's going to be 100 degrees on Saturday and Sunday. So it's do yard work tonight or die. Metaphorically, listener, I
don't know. It's Oklahoma and it's potential.
Gross.
Real death is possible.
And I don't know. I feel like we did this trip to Minneapolis. I was really hoping to spend some time writing up there. And it didn't happen. We just went fucking balls to the wall doing social things. And I'm not upset that I got to see everybody. I wouldn't have changed it. I don't know. There's these parts of myself I need to partition off and do a better job of defending. And I think that's what's really led to this, is not being staunchly defensive of my time in certain ways. But then at the same time, like, I don't know. I sit down, I look at the page, and everything feels like despair.
Yeah.
And I guess at this point, even though it's not actively things that I was working on, I mean, maybe I need to write that into what I don't know. But like, maybe that's part of the answer, is to just let that become whatever's on the page, because that's what I feel, and I don't want to go overly dark with things with people, but at the same time, that's what I'm feeling, and God, and maybe, I'm sorry, it's heavy today.
And maybe that's it, though. Maybe right now isn't a good time to work on the specific project that you think you should work on. And maybe your creativity needs to go a different direction at the moment with the way you're feeling.
I think it probably is going to have to, because no matter what I do, I feel like I have this low grade background noise of, again, like dealing with the political climate, dealing with existential dread, dealing with those fears of like, is this all there is? And I text you guys, I think, was it yesterday, day before, where I said I think I was in the middle of a midlife crisis? Well, I think I'm in the middle of a midlife crisis. I think I'm actually factually there. And I already have the sports car, so I don't know what to do.
Just a bigger, better sports car.
Oh, okay. Well, that's not going to happen, because I'm not increasing our expenses at this point.
You know, it's
I funny worry about money in the America we live in already, Jay.
Already. It's so easy to worry expenses. About it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so funny listening to you say that you feel like I'm balls to the walls on my creativity and that you feel like you're lacking. And I actually feel guilty in everything I do a lot in my creativity, because I go through phases where I hit this day that my creativity is like insane. And I'm just like, boom, boom, boom. And sometimes it lasts a day. Sometimes it lasts a couple weeks, something like that. And I'm just spitting out a bunch of shit. And I just have to do it, or else we're not going to get stuff done, because I'm going to hit a lag.
Yeah.
Whatever happens isn't going to come out as good. I'm going to procrastinate as much as possible. So I feel guilty that what I do is I inundate you guys with all of this shit with absolutely no regard to what's going on with you guys. And I'm like, watch this, check this. This is what I want to do. And then I turn around and a week later, I'm in this terrible lull where I don't want to do anything. Nothing's coming out. And I'm just like not at all helpful. And so I'm so bipolar with my creativity mode that I feel guilty on my end of how I handle it. But I feel like I have to do as much as I can during my creative moment.
Well, I mean, don't feel guilty by any means. Today I was just frustrated with every single notification I got on my phone. Like everything. Well, everything that came through. I was like, fuck you. I don't want to talk to you. Fuck you. I don't want to talk to you. Fuck you. I don't want to talk to you. And then, like, a friend sent us this thing, and it was supposed to be funny. And I know it's supposed to be funny, but it caught me while I was in just a wrong place. And that's not his fault by any means. It wasn't like he needed to send over a barometer that said, hey, are you having a messy depressy today?
Yeah.
If not, I won't send this to you. Because my funny gauge was at zero today. And he sent it, and it was just, it was a silly video about podcasting. And in, like, if I look at it objectively, it's really funny. But then at the same time, just watching it made me spiral even more.
Yeah.
Because it was sort of poking fun at podcasting, which is fine, because you should always sort of poke fun at what you do. And it is this sort of big thing that's exploding at the same time. But like, ugh. I don't know. It just hit me all the way in the wrong spot. I just can't be bothered today to deal with things emotionally, because I'm at my tipping point.
Yeah. Maybe you should have gone on that hike instead of recording.
I need to do the yard work.
I crammed that in. What the fuck night was it? Tuesday? Yeah, I came home after a meeting downtown in prep for our gay pride for our other show. And then I was like, God damn it, I need to mow the lawn. And I don't want to do it this weekend when my boyfriend's in town. And so I'm just like,
I think that's part of it. Was I would have, under any other circumstances, I would have probably still gone on that hike today. And I do, I've gone hiking, what, 3 times in the past week, which is great, which is like, I'm getting back into a groove. Yeah, you'd think the endorphins and getting outside would make me feel a little bit better about things, but today that's apparently not the case. But like, I don't know, in my head, and again, being fatalist, I was just like, I just want to get back to the house. I just want to do this. I want to record the episode, and then I want to go outside, and I want to get this fucking yard work done so that I can get dinner on the table, so that I can sit the fuck down and space the fuck out, because I don't want to think about anything anymore.
That's,
But again, listen to like my thought process. Holy shit, as I'm verbalizing it, I'm sitting here stacking things up in my mind.
Yeah.
And I know we all do that, but... You know, these episodes are supposed to be a little more balanced, and I am just shitting all over you today, Jay. That's just trauma everywhere.
That's exactly what this is for. And it's free.
And it is free. You know what? It is free. This is stuff we all already pay for.
And other people can listen to us and go, oh my God, I'm much better off than I thought I was. No, I'm kidding.
Seriously, I hope you're having a better day than me. God, yeah, and I felt like I was just super dour all day at work. You know, my coworker was the only person that I really interacted with, but like, man, I had the resting bitch face of all resting bitch faces today, and I think that stopped at least 3 people from coming in my office.
That's my kind of day, though.
Normally, yes.
Like, please don't bother really, me.
I am glad nobody bothered me today, because if somebody had, I think I probably, I don't think I would have been very helpful. I would have, because that's who I am as a person, so let me recognize that. But at the same time, I would have been embittered about it.
Yeah.
So, anyways, that's where I'm at. 2/3 of the way into this.
What is it my mom used to say? Okay, well, other people have worse problems, so get better. And I'm like, okay, mom. That's a resolution.
I was going to say, I feel like giving advice from our parents is a bad idea, because our parents already sort of...
Oh my God.
...screwed the pooch on this.
It is. It is, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm ready for the weekend. I'm ready to get a little bit of time to myself. And I don't know. I think I might cry while I do yard work. I'm going to try.
The nice part about it is whenever I do yard work, I sweat so easily that you can't tell what I'm doing. Crying, sweating, it's all pouring down my face.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. Maybe if I have some weird subconscious hang up from not like looking like I'm crying, maybe this will let me cry.
Were you punished as a kid, by the way, for crying? Like, told to stop and all that stuff?
Oh, yeah, all the time.
Because I was like, that's... Yep. It took me a long time to be able to cry. I mean, I could cry in the right scenario, but it had to be, like, I was super worked up.
Well, I mean, also growing up as males in the Midwest, where, you know, masculinity is the only thing that matters...
Yeah.
And then you like to be masculine and macho, you have to be strong. You can't cry. Don't feel those feelings. Sort of like the Book of Mormon. It's funny, though, because we talked about this on our podcast for our other podcast recording last night about getting that when you're in Walmart and throwing a tantrum when you were a kid and getting the like, I'd get the arm grab and the pull in and the I'll give you a reason to cry.
Yeah.
Wow, that was funny last night and less funny today.
I was like, it was really funny last night.
And now it's traumatic.
And now I'm like, yeah. Well, and I keep talking about this and I'm having a flashback too. It was, I think it was after my mom divorced my dad. And she kept telling my uncle, he needs to teach me how to do things, change tires and all this. And she like started crying in front of me, telling him, I need him to be a man. I need him to be a man. He's got to learn how to be a man. And I'm just sitting over there like, the fuck is happening? I'm 10.
Yeah, that's wild.
And she was so worried that because dad wasn't around that I was going to be not a man, which to me, it was just she had signs way back then that I was gay. And she was like, we got to fix this. And it's dad's fault.
This will spill outside of this episode at the rate we're going, but it really does. Trauma really starts with the people who raise you, their expectations of who you should be as a person when you become an adult.
Yeah.
Do you feel like that colored your perception of how you should act around your mom?
100%. Absolutely. Because I felt like if I didn't do it the way that she said I should, or if I didn't behave the way she thinks I should be behaving, that she may just have to get rid of me or something because I wasn't performing to her level.
Jesus.
And at the time, I didn't even know what she meant. Like, I don't know. I just remember her saying, I need him to learn how to be a man. And I'm like, what am I supposed to do then? And I was so panicked that she was so panicked.
Did your mom ever at points in time where you sort of have like a breakdown with her, or if you ever had like an emotional moment, did she ever ask you why you didn't approach her about it sooner?
No, because I never had breakdowns. Or if I ever tried to have a breakdown, it was very much like, you got to pull it together. And she would like leave. Breakdowns were uncomfortable. Wow. So she wouldn't participate.
Wow. So I we have really similar upbringings, but this is one where they differ because my mom would be like that. My parents would be like that, where they had like this expectations of masculinity and don't cry and all these things. But then if it ever like bubbled up and spilled over in front of them, my mom would always be like, well, I don't understand why you didn't bring it up to me. You can always talk to me, which is this dichotomy of like, you need to act this way and don't show emotion and be strong. Oh, well, why didn't you come talk to me and show emotion?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mine, that one, it was always things aren't easy. So you just got to buck up and get over it, and crying won't fix anything. And so you just learned not to bond with your parents, basically.
Jesus.
And even as a kid, I remember like I'd want to hang out with her, and I always was wanting to love her. And she was always like, okay. And she always seemed annoyed. Like, she would hug me and be like, okay, well, I got things to do. Because she was always busy. Because she was very unhappy in her marriage. And I'm not justifying her, but I get why she was so preoccupied. I fully understand that. They had a horrible marriage.
Well, and I feel like you can sort of recognize the things that your parents did wrong without... I think everybody goes through a period of blame, for sure, but... I also think you can recognize those things in a way that you say, well, I mean, there's nothing I can do about it now except to improve the way that I currently live. But yeah, I feel like the only time that I would have those close moments with my parents were in these like extremely emotionally tumultuous states with myself or them or something else is happening. Like, someone had to literally die for us to get close, or something had to blow up. Like, my parents had to have a knockdown, drag out verbal fight for us to have a bonding moment. And I never thought about that until just now.
I don't even know if we ever had blow ups. Mom was such a people pleaser that if anything was going wrong, it was an immediate, we have to fix this so everything feels back to normal.
Jesus, which is Christ.
What I learned from it.
I hate that feeling of needing to be fixed, because I think that has bled well over into my adulthood. Would you say that you feel the same way?
100%. I probably, with just this year, have been recognizing that I'm like, okay, you have to take it out of your mind that this disagreement you're having needs a correction. You need to see it more as a this disagreement or our, not quite an argument, but discussion just needs to be discussed like a conversation, and that you don't have to be defensive. You don't have to try and correct their issue.
Yeah. Yeah. And I feel that too. And I also catch myself with self-talk feeling like, oh, what's wrong with me? Why am I doing this? There's something wrong with me.
Oh my God.
All the time.
I did that last year, especially in my dating. I didn't realize how bad my anxious attachment was.
Yeah. And I think now it's translating into exactly what I opened the episode with, this existential dread. Like, there's just something broken with me that I can't function in a way in society, that I can't just go out and be happy and go be productive at work or whatever. I have to do more. I have to do something.
Yeah.
And it's fucking wrecking me today.
Yeah. Well, maybe you'll feel better next week. Maybe we'll have a good comeback discussion next week during recording.
I really hope that I do. I would love to have that conversation this evening.
But I will say, this has been a very good deep episode, deeper than we've been on any of the past so far, and I think it's kind of been interesting.
Wow. And it's only episode 3, so we can,
there's a lot to grow from on that.
There's way more to go into, so I'm sure we'll get just
this episode.
Jeez. It's been good. I feel like I need to cry.
And we're out of time.
Thank you for joining us today on our show. As you can see, therapy is not always easy, but it can be very rewarding and healing.
If you want to follow our journey and see how we progress, tune in next episode for the continuation of We're Not Therapists, But We Need One.
Join us on our socials, TikTok, Facebook, Threads, and Instagram, and email us at nopenottherapists@gmail.com.
That's nopenottherapists @gmail.com.
We would love to hear your thoughts on our journey or any questions you have that we can help answer. Until then,
stay safe.
Mental health is a serious and important issue that affects millions of people around the world.
If you or someone you know is struggling with depression, anxiety, trauma, or have any other mental health conditions, you're not alone, and there is help available.
You don't have to suffer in silence or feel ashamed of your feelings.
There are many resources and support networks that can help you cope and heal.
Here are just a few. The National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, which is a 24/7 service that provides free and confidential support for people in distress, as well as prevention and crisis resources. You can call them at 1-800-273-8255 or chat online at suicidepreventionlifeline.org.
The Crisis Text Line, which is a 24/7 service that connects you to trained crisis counselors who can help you with any type of emotional crisis. You can text HOME to 741-741 in the US or Canada, or 85258 in the UK, or 50808 in Ireland. You can also visit crisistextline.org for more information.
The BetterHelp app, which is an online platform that matches you with a licensed therapist who can provide you with professional counseling via phone, video, or chat. You can choose from thousands of therapists who specialize in different areas, such as depression, anxiety, stress, relationships, and more. You can get started by visiting BetterHelp.com and filling out a short questionnaire.
The Headspace app, which is a meditation and mindfulness app that can help you reduce stress, improve your mood, and enhance your well-being. The app offers guided meditations, breathing exercises, sleep sounds, and other tools that can help you relax and cope with your emotions. You can download the app for free and try it for 10 days or subscribe for unlimited access to all features. You can find the app on the App Store or Google Play, or visit Headspace.com for more information.
These are just some of the resources that we have found helpful, but there are many more out there that can suit your needs or preferences.
The most important thing is to reach out for help when you need it, and to know that you are not alone.
Mental health is not a weakness, but a strength, and taking care of it is one of the best things you can do for yourself and your loved ones.
Until next time.